how many's ready to thrive today? Are you ready to thrive? Come on now, how many's ready to thrive today? When we look at the word thrive, we know it means to blossom, to develop well, to grow, to flourish, to succeed. It's a phrase we find in the scripture that it says that the righteous man, that when they thrive, that the city rejoices, that the righteous rejoice, the people rejoice. So today, I want you to rejoice and declare, this is my year to blossom. This is my year to thrive. Today, I want to talk to you about the thought, stay in the house. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Have you ever told your kids to stay in the house? Only for them not to obey you? Come on now. Am I the only parent that has this problem before in our life? Okay. I can remember going back to my early childhood. One of my earliest memories came when a time when I was not even four. I was 3 years old, and we had been playing in the yard all summer long with all the neighbor kids who were older than me. Then once my siblings went to school and school started back up for the school year, everybody disappeared. And so I went out in the yard to play, and there was nobody there. I was so disappointed. And my dad had told me, he said, "Gene, I'm leaving for work, but whatever happens today, whatever you do, do not cross the street. Don't cross the street." I'm like, okay, but dad told me I can't cross the street. But I could hear that day, I could hear the voices of children playing from the schoolyard up the hill. They were out on recess and they were playing, and I could actually hear the rumble from the play yard. And I was in my mind thinking about it. I was like, you know what? If I walk to the end of this block and make a left and stay on the same side of the road, I can go up the hill, around the curve, around the cul-de-sac, and actually be at the school without ever crossing the street. And so my adventure began. I set out on that journey, walked up to the school, walked into the middle of the office, and said, I'm ready to play. And they were like, "Who are you? Who's this kid?" And some of the kids recognized me and said, told them how I was. And they called my mom. They're like, "Are you missing a little kid?" They're like, "Yes, I can't find him anywhere." Well, we got him here. He's safe. He decided to walk up and enroll himself in school. Now, today, when I got home, how many know my dad was very upset at me? He got home from work, and I knew I was going to get it. And he came, and I could see the angry look on his face, like, "Man, I told you, don't cross the street." And as soon as he got in the house, I looked at him and said, "Dad, I didn't cross the street." And, of course, he thought about it and kind of smiled and had a hard time punishing me after that. But there's a reason why they want to keep us in the house. There's a reason why we want to keep them in the yard. Why? Because we realize it's safe there. We realize that it's safety there. And once they leave the parameters of the home, of the house, we know that that's where the most dangerous things can happen to them, especially at a young age. And so we were like, stay in the house, stay in the yard, stay there, don't go out. When we leave, don't open the door for strangers. You keep the doors locked, don't go outside. All the things we tell them. Why? Because we're trying to keep them safe. You know, even as young adults, we tell our kids, you know, if you're smart, you stay in the house. Now, you're an adult, and if you want to move out, if you want to pay your own bills, if you want to buy your own groceries, if you want to pay for your own cell phone and you want to buy your own clothes, you're more than welcome to go. But, you know, hint, hint, you're more than welcome to get out there. But the smart ones say, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay as long as possible. I'm going to save. I'm going to try to finish school without debt. I may have to have a little bit more structure, but you know what? In the long run, it's going to save me. In the long run, it's wisdom. And the smart ones understand that. And sometimes people are just like, I got to get out, you know? And it takes them getting out and realizing, boy, I had it really good at home. I had it really good at home before they realized I need to go back. I need to get back to the house, and I need to submit to mom and dad's rules, because, man, that's a lot easier living under that structure than it is me being in charge of everything. And so there's something about the safety of the house, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, stay in the house. We're going to learn to stay in the house. Psalms 1, let's go over the Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the step with the wicked, or they stand the same way the sinners take or sit, or the company of mockers. but whose delight is in the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his word day and night. That person is like a tree who's planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in seasons, whose leaves does not wither. What do they do? They shall prosper. They shall thrive. So if you want to thrive today, we got to realize we're called to be like trees planted by the rivers of water. What happens to those trees? Their roots go deep and they thrive into the living waters because that's where their life source is. And those trees produce the biggest fruit, the biggest leaves, and they produce and they grow to the biggest of the trees. Why? Because, man, they're connected to the life source. There's something about growing your roots deep. It's just blessed. See, is the one. It's our environment, man. It matters to God. Our environment is there. Who doesn't walk, man? Who walks or stand with the ways of the sinners or sit in the company of mockers? Listen, it's not saying you can't ever be with sinners. It doesn't mean you can't ever hang around people who aren't Christians. But what he's saying is this, man, you shouldn't just be doing it all the time. That shouldn't be your only environment. When you go there, you should be going to influence them. You should be going there to be a positive influence on them. You should be going there to let them see how much God is changing your life. And when all you do is go and blend in, man, you're asking for trouble. But man, if you want to thrive, learn to get and meditate where God is at. Learn to get on the word of the Lord. Learn to meditate yourself and grow your roots deep like the trees of the living waters. And then you'll thrive and you'll prosper. And so today we got to learn that once we accept Christ, the most important thing we can do after accepting Christ is learn to grow our roots deep. Let God plant us in a local church, in the house, the body of Christ where he wants us, and then plant your roots deep. I said this last week. It's worth repeating today. Let's look at it one more time. Many times it's harder to stay in the place God has placed you than it is to get there. We fight really hard to get there, don't we? We fight really hard to get there. Then once we get there, we've left our friends behind. We've gone and made decisions. I'm going to follow after Christ. I'm going there. I'm changing my ways. But once we get there, oftentimes it's just as hard or harder to stay there and not to go back. That's why the children of Israel had a hard time leaving Egypt. They wanted out of Egypt. They worked hard. They prayed about it. They prayed. Our deliverer is coming, man. They sang the songs. They chanted. I mean, they prayed for years and years. And finally, God sends Moses. They get delivered. And then they spend 40 years. God takes 40 years for him to get that slave mentality out of their mind. God was taking them and trying to plant them somewhere new. And the whole time, they're thinking, well, we're better off going back with Pharaoh. We're better off going back to Egypt. We're better off going living as slaves. So he took him 40 years wandering in the desert for him to break that mentality. Listen, you got to break that mindset and realize I've got to be planted where God is planting me. I got to grow my roots deep where God is taking me. Don't allow yourself to go back and be the person you used to be. Don't allow yourself to go back and be addicted to everything you used to be addicted to. Don't allow yourself to go back and be depressed like you used to be. No, jump up and say, no, I'm planting myself in the house of the Lord. I'm planting myself in the things of God in my life. The Bible is very clear that God expects us to grow. I mean, we find this throughout Scripture that God expects us to leave the elementary teachings. He says, I want you to leave the preschool things. I want you to leave the elementary. I want you to graduate up. I expect you to mature and take on the meat of God's Word and to understand and to grow. He says, we're called to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Means he's wanting you to level up. He wants you to level up. He expects me to level up, you to level up. But the problem is this, too many of us, Pastor Tom, come and give me a hand. Too many of us, we plant ourselves, boom, all right, I've gone from here to here. Woo, I've leveled up 3 times. I planted myself. And then we start comparing ourselves to everybody else. Well, you know what? I'm higher than this person. I've planted myself higher than this person, so I'm good. I'm leveled up. I'm planted. I'm growing. But we have somebody who comes in. Maybe they come in and accept Jesus for the first time, and over the 1 year they stepped up one level, and then the next year they step up another level. And we look back and say, well, yeah, but I'm still higher than this person. Who's really growing? The person who's leveled up in 2 years, or the person who's been stuck in the same spot for 10 years? Who's growing? See, thank you. The problem is this, we compare ourselves based off of each other instead of basing off each person in the mirror. See, the only way I grow is realize I've got to grow based off the person I'm facing in the mirror. I should look and say, at some point, it's time for me to level up. God, plant me stronger. God, plant me deeper. Level me to a different place you want me to go. And quit allowing yourself to be uprooted and come back down and get planted over here. And then, oh, well, I guess I'll plant back up here. And then, oh, I'll get planted back over here. No, level up. Level up. Stay planted until God levels you up again and replants you. Stay leveled up until God plants you. Stay there. Stay in the house. And this is how you're going to thrive, when you stay in the house. This is how you're going to grow, when you stay in the house. How many of you made New Year's resolutions? Raise your hand. Say, I made some New Year's resolutions. Anybody here? How many of you made the New Year's resolutions to get back into the gym? Anybody exercise? Anybody here made that resolution? All right. How many bought a new gym membership? Raise your hand. Anybody here? One of the events? Yeah, that's great. Proud of you. You know, this is one of the things that I see all the time that happens. I've even experienced this on both sides of the fence on this story. We make ourselves, when we go down and we like, all right, you know, I'm going to join the new gym, and we join the new gym, or we're motivated. Yeah, this year, woo, we see ourselves for what we aren't yet. Yes, I see myself losing the weight I want to lose, getting into shape, exercising. I see the muscles about, boom, ready to pop off my shirt right now. I can see it. And we join the gym, and then we go down to the gym, we start working out, and we're like, whoa. This is actually a lot of work. Oh, when I get done, I'm really sore. I mean, it actually hurts. They didn't tell me my body was going to ache the next day. They didn't tell me I was going to struggle to get out of bed. My muscles are sore. They expect me to come back down there and do it again the next day. What are these people smoking, man? What are they thinking? They think I want to go down there and put myself through that. But we buy the new outfits, don't we? We got the new tennis shoes, and we show up at the gym. Woo! I can't wait to go. I'm going to glide on that treadmill today. These Nike Airs, I'm going to look good. These Air Maxes, ooh, I'm going to flow, man. And we see it all there. And what happens is we realize that, you know, of course, if you know anything, you know that if you work out, it is painful. And your body is sore for a couple of weeks, and then it begins to wear off, and you start growing and striding. All of a sudden, you start learning and you get stronger, and then the adrenaline kicks in because you see the change happening. And all of a sudden, you want to do it more, and you want to work out even harder because you see the change happening. But those first couple of weeks, man, we just lose it, don't we? But this is what happens. Throughout the year, we're like, you know what? I'm a member of COLA. I'm a member of Planet Fitness. I'm a member of 24/7. I'm a member there, yeah. But when's the last time you went to the gym? Getting awful quiet on me this morning. We can pay our dues and we can say we're a member there. Some of you are like, it's only $5 a month, the COLA, Pastor. No, it didn't. You haven't hit your quota in months. They've been charging you the full amount. I'm telling for the people who are hitting it like 11, 12 times a month. I mean, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. We can say we belong to the gym, but is it really doing us any good? Only ones who benefit are the ones who discipline themselves to be there. Show up. Work out. Use it to their benefit. Then they're gonna grow. They're gonna get stronger. They're gonna lose the weight. They're gonna get stronger. They're gonna develop. They're gonna become the person they're wanting to become. Why? Because they're showing up, putting in the work. The same thing happens in our life is that we can say, oh, I'm a member of Destiny, or I'm a member of this church over here, or I'm a member of this church over here. But if we only go on Easter and Christmas and a few handful of times of the year, are we really a member? Are we really, is that really our church? No, I'm not benefiting from it. See, I'm going to benefit when I stay in the house, when I show up and I plant myself deep. We have got to pass this on to the next generation, that it is important for us to continue to come together, to worship the Lord together, to meet together. We're only one generation away from losing it, folks. It used to be 75%, 70% were here all the time. Now we have less than half that are here, and everybody else kind of rotates through every couple of weeks, every 4 to 6 weeks, and they say, you know, that's my home church. And I get it, but listen, you're not going to grow that way. You're not going to thrive that way. The people who are thriving are the ones who are making a consistent effort to say, you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to be in the house of the Lord. As for me and my family, we're going to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to push each other to be there. We're going to push through the hard times to be there. We're going to stay connected, and we're going to grow our roots deep. This is where you're going to thrive, is when you grow your roots deep and you stay in the house. So turn to your neighbor and say, stay in the house. We've got to stay in the house. Let's look at one of the most famous stories that Jesus ever told. It's one of my favorite stories that Jesus ever told, about the young man who decided he was big enough to leave dad's house. Look what he says. Luke 15:11-24. Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he left dad's house, man. He said, I'm taking off. See ya. For a distant country. There he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country, and he had begun to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Can you think about that? I mean, how desperate you must be that you're going to work by feeding the pigs, and my pay for feeding the pigs is I'm going to eat what the pigs eat. Can you imagine how bad the pigs, I mean, the pigs eat pretty bad now, but can you imagine how bad they're eating during a famine time? I mean, we just can't comprehend getting down in the mud and eating some of the sick things he had to eat. Finally, it says, when he came out to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. He goes, no, I'll get up. I'll go back to my father's house. I'll go back to my father. I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son any longer. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him, looking for him. He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him. He kissed on him. He said, son, I love you. Son, the father said, I have sinned. The father, he said to his father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring out the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf out and kill it. Let's have a party, man. We're going to celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So he began to celebrate. Now this story, it's a great story of the grace of our Father, a love of our Father, how much He really loves us, how much the kingdom works. But what I want you to get out of this story, as many times we're talking about the Father's love for us, I want you to get out of this story today is simply this, that the Father not only was quick to forgive, but the Father was there waiting on him to grow up and to return back home. The Father was there waiting for his son to grow up, to mature, to realize he should have never left the house, and to get back, plugged back in to the house. And once he got back to the house, the blessings begin to flow once again in his life. God is looking, and when we're not connected to the house of the Lord, when we're not connected to the body of Christ, the Father is looking, where are you? I'm waiting for you to grow up and get connected. Some of you have been immature way too long. You've allowed yourself to prodigal out. You've allowed yourself to go out and do your own thing time after time. And it's time for you to get back to the Father's house and say, no, my blessing is connected to the house. My blessing is connected to the Father. I got to plant myself back. I got to quit hanging out with these pigs and get back to the place of the blessing of the Father. The Father's waiting. I'm telling you, you eat enough mud, you'll want to get up. Don't wait. Don't wait until then. Don't wait until you find yourself rolling around in the mud of life, man, eating the pods from the pigs. Come back to the house. Get plugged into the house. And look at this statement. No matter what you're going through, don't leave the house. Hear me today. No matter what you're going through, don't leave the house. The son should have never left the house. Last week I talked about how Satan, the Bible says that Satan met Eve at the one place she shouldn't have been. It says that she had all the places in the garden she could have went, and God said, just stay away from this one place. Don't partake of this one tree, the tree of the, what, the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't go there. Don't partake of it. Where'd she go? Boom, right there. There she is. And it says that Satan met her there. You see, the son, when he steps out of the place the father had intended for him to be, what happened? Satan was waiting on him. Satan was waiting on him there. Satan will meet you when you step out of the father's house. He's waiting to meet you. I'm telling you, he's waiting. He's looking. He's looking for you to disconnect yourself. He's looking for you to pull yourself out of the father's house. And when that happens, he's waiting to attack you. He's waiting to meet you there, to tempt you there. I've got to grow my roots deep. See, when I'm connected to the house, I have spiritual discernment. Even when I'm not fully doing everything maybe I right, I at least have some spiritual discernment. I can discern, boy, there's some things in my life I need to change. There's some things I need to cut out of my life. There's some people, well, these people are not good for me. This isn't great decisions. I have spiritual discernment that comes when I'm connected to the house. When you get disconnected from the house, I'm telling you, that spiritual meter goes crazy. And you start making bad decisions. You're like, why am I making these bad decisions? I didn't used to do this before. Why? Because your spiritual meter's all off. When you get disconnected from the house, it messes up your spiritual meter, your discernment. You gotta discern and know that Satan's up to no good. His schemes are waiting to kill, steal, and destroy. See, when you disconnect, we lose that discernment. You gotta know what he's up to. You gotta get up. I know we don't always feel like it. It's like the story of the young man who said, "Mom, I don't want to go to church today." She says, "Get up, you gotta go to church." "Mom, I don't want to go there." She goes, "Why don't you want to go to church?" She goes, "Well, there's a lot of people there don't really like me, and you know, I'm tired. I just don't want to go today." She says, "You gotta get up and go, son." He goes, "Why do I gotta go?" She goes, "I'll give you two reasons why you gotta go. Number one, God expects you to be there. It's the right thing to do, to go and be faithful to the house of the Lord. Number two, you're the pastor, so get up and go to church." You ever been there before? I've been there before. I know. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not always easy. But man, it's worth it. It's worth it to grow your roots deep and say, "No, I'm going to fight through it. Satan's going to fight you. Get out of the house. Get disconnected from the house. You don't need that. It won't cost you to miss a few more weeks. It's okay." And pretty soon, 2 weeks is turning to four, and four is turning to eight. Next thing you know, we're totally disconnected from the body. Our spiritual discernment's all messed up. And we're wondering why our life is not flowing the way it needs to. We're not thriving because we've gotten out of the house. We've got to stay connected to the house. Plant our roots deep. See, Satan will attack us when we disconnect. The safety is in the flock. He says, "We are the sheep. He is the shepherd." And he says, "I've given you shepherds to shepherd you." And we're called the flock. And if you've ever watched National Geographic, if you ever watched Discovery Channel, The Animal Planet, whatever, you know, we all say it. As soon as the one leaves the herd, what do? No! We're pointing at the TV. "Get back! Get back! Go back to the herd! Go back! Get back in the flock!" Why? Because they'll get out there by themselves and they're attacked by wolves. They get out there and wading. Now, what are you doing wading through water up to your neck? There's crocodiles in there. Get back with the herd. You know what? You don't have to be the brightest sheep. You can even be the black sheep of the family. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be perfect, but man, you stay in the flock. That's where the protection's at. The danger is disconnecting ourselves. We got to stay connected. You want to thrive this year? Stay connected to the house of the Lord. Stay connected to the flock He's planted you in and placed you in. You want to thrive? You got to stay connected. Remember what we talked about last week? God really cares about our environments. Environments matter to God. He spends 5 days creating the place, 1 day creating man. He spent 5 days creating the environment and 1 day creating us to live in that environment. He always cares about environments. That's why he says in order for us to thrive, we are called to thrive in the body of Christ. We're called to thrive in the house. That's where he wants us to thrive when we're connected to where God is calling us to be a part of that local body. You've got to stay connected. See, there's a non-biblical move called independent Christianity. But you can't find anywhere in Scripture that backs it up. It's just, I can be a Christian and do it all by myself. I don't need anybody else. I don't have to go to church. I'm still okay. And technically, you can make it to heaven, okay? You can make it to heaven. But you'll never thrive the way God has intended for you to. You'll never thrive the way God designed for us to thrive when you're not planted in a local body. I'm telling you, you won't happen. He designed us to thrive connected to each other. God didn't design us to be independent. If so, He wouldn't have given us the need for spiritual gifts. He says, I've given you spiritual gifts, number one, to bring glory to God and to edify the body of Christ. That's us. He goes, I've given you spiritual gifts to help build up, support other believers in the body. This is what we're called to do. We're called to connect. God gives us these gifts to edify each other. Look what Hebrews 10:25 says. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, coming together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more the days, what, you see the day approaching. He's saying this, listen, don't stop meeting together. And let me tell you this. This is not a new problem. Because Paul was addressing it right here in the early church. He goes in the manner of some. So he was already addressing the problem back in the early church. This is not a new problem. This is just not a problem happening today. It's been going on for generations. And we have to continue to teach. We got to continue to encourage and instruct that we're to come together. We're to work together. We're to be planted together. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says God places us. In fact, God has placed the parts in the body. Every one of them just as He wanted them to be. The Bible says that some of us are the hands. Some of us are the feet. Some of us are the mouthpiece. Some of us are the ears. Some of us are the, well, we won't talk about that body part, but let's go ahead and talk about this. That we all belong to the body of Christ. And when we work together, we function together, we edify each other, we lift each other up, we support each other, and we grow our roots deep. We walk together. It says God has placed the parts in the body. When God places you somewhere, man, you don't leave. Stay planted. Stay planted as long as possible. Stay there. Samson didn't fail until he left the father's house. He was walking under the blessing. He was walking under the strength of the covenant he made with God, the covenant God made with him. And it wasn't until he said, you know what? I think I'll leave my father's home. I'll go look for a woman over here on this side. I'll go over here with the enemy. I'll go hang out with these people right here. I heard the girls over there, they got a little bit more better looking girls over here. So I think I'll go over here and I'll hang out with them. And it wasn't until he left his father's house that his life began to go downhill. Once he left his father's house, then destruction came to him. There Satan was waiting to tempt him. There Satan was waiting to destroy his life. And it set in motion a downward spiral in his life. Why? Because he left the covenant. He left the place God had designed and instructed him to be, where God had planted him to be. It takes spiritual discipline to grow your roots deep and to stay in the house. Look at this statement. This prodigal son's life didn't go downhill until he left his father's house. It didn't go downhill. The prodigal son's life didn't go downhill until he left the father's house. And it didn't go back uphill until he got back to the father's house. He said, no, I got to quit. Is this independent mentality? No. I'll come back and work for my dad. I'll come back and be a servant for my... You're talking about humbling yourself. I don't want you to have to go through that. I want you to stay in the house. But sometimes it takes that. Sometimes we have to get out and realize, boy, we fall flat on our face and realize, no, I should have stayed planted. Get up. Come back. Plant yourself. Stay there. Thrive this year. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. If you don't know this, Satan likes to play survivor. He wants to outwit, outlast, outplay. I love that show Survivor, and they use that all the time, outwit. We find it here being used in this scripture, outwit. Satan is trying to outwit you. He's trying to use schemes that are going to outwit you and I. Look what Ephesians 6:11 says. It backs the same principle up. We're to put on our full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. If you didn't know this, Satan has schemes. He's using schemes to try to trip you and I up, to lure you and I away. You know, some of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game, people like Peyton Manning and even Tom Brady, God help us all. Drew Brees. They have the ability to walk up to the line of scrimmage and they can know the schemes that the defense is running before they ever snap the ball. And that's why they succeed so much. They walk up to the line, they see what's going on, and they know the scheme of the defense, and they do a play that's going to helpfully go away from that scheme. Last night, Sean McVay, the coach of the Los Angeles Rams, he's so advanced that where he sends his team, they don't even huddle up anymore. They go right to the ball. They huddle up, they huddle on the line of scrimmage, they get set right away without ever huddling up, forcing the defense to show their schemes. Then the quarterback turns and looks, gets the play call from the sideline, and then calls the play and goes. And they succeed all night long. Why? Because they knew the schemes. They knew the schemes. They were way ahead of them. And today, I want you to know the devil has no new schemes. Listen to me. The devil has no new schemes. The devil cannot create. He doesn't have the power to create. He can't create something new. Only our God has the power to call into darkness and call something out of that. I speak into darkness and I call out light. The devil can't do that. None of his schemes are new. He's been doing the same schemes from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. He's been pulling the same schemes. And you want to know what his scheme he uses against the body of Christ over and over and over again is this. If I can get you disconnected, if I can get you to get unplanted, if I can get you to leave the house and get you away from all those people and get you by yourself isolated, I can meet you there. I can attack you there. I can discourage you there. I can get you doubting there. I can get you hurting there. All right, I'm going to get you offended so you leave the body. I'm going to get you upset so you leave the body. I'm going to get you mad so you leave the body. I'm going to get you lonely so you leave the body. And he wants you. It's the same schemes he uses over and over. And the Bible says, don't be ignorant. Know that the devil has schemes. And his scheme is this. He wants you to doubt who you are in God. And he wants you to unplug from the local body of Christ. He wants you to leave the flock. That's his schemes. But see, when you stay connected in the house, this is the good news. You get up there and you're connected in the house and your roots are planted deep. The devil's schemes are out there. But the Holy Spirit, come on now, the Holy Spirit whispers to you and says, hey, here's the schemes you're going to be facing. And it allows you and I to quarterback our life in a way that succeeds, that thrives. And if the schemes don't succeed against us, why? Because we're plugged into the house. We're plugged into the Father's house. We're plugged into what God is doing. Turn to your neighbor and say, we got to stay plugged in. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. Even when my attitude stinks, stay in the house. Even when I failed, stay in the house. Even when I've been hurt, stay in the house. Even when I'm upset, stay in the house. Even when I'm having times of doubt, stay in the house. Even when I'm discouraged, stay in the house. Even when I'm succeeding and doing great, stay in the house. Stay connected. I want you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads today, I want to ask you the most important question you've ever been asked in your life. It's the question, have you ever made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? The Bible says that we must believe in our heart. We must confess with our mouth. So today, maybe you've been believing in your heart, but you never confessed with your mouth. And today you say, Pastor, I'm ready. See, you can't thrive until you take the first step. You can't get planted until you take the first step. And the first step is simply this. I'm surrendering my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm ready to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. I believe He died on the cross for my sins. He came to redeem me and my sins. And today I'm ready to accept Him. Without anybody looking right now, we won't do anything to point you out or to single you out. If that's you today, you ready to say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Can you just raise your hand where I can see it? Say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Thank you. Anybody else today? Raise it high where I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join us today? Say, I'm ready. If you haven't raised it right now. Say, I'm ready to receive Jesus today. This is what we're going to do. For those of you who raise your hands, I want you to repeat this prayer out loud with me. As Christians sitting around you, we're going to help you along to encourage you. So we're going to say it out loud as well. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my life. I accept your love. I accept your grace. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, we prayed that prayer for the first time. Say, welcome to the family of God. This is why we're here. This is why we're here today. You make that decision. If you prayed that prayer, it's just the beginning step, okay? The next step I want you to do is when we dismiss today, I want you to go back to our hub. The garage door will be open back there to the left. Your free Bible, some information in there we want you to get, put in your hand, okay? Make sure you stop by and get that free gift to us, from us today to you. We'd love to give that to you, okay? Let's stand on our feet today. Have me say, Pastor, man, you're challenging me. You're challenging me to grow my roots deep. You're challenging me. Some of you here say, I got to get back connected to house. Some of you here, I just got to grow my roots deeper. Anybody here want to raise your hand and say, you're challenging me today to go deeper? Yeah, come on, we're growing our roots deeper. I want to thrive. We're going to go to the altar today. Come on, let's make it. God, we're coming to the altar. We come to your altar today, God. Let's sing it out. Let's give it to him. We lift our hands to the Lord today as a sign of surrender. God, we lift up everything to you today. We surrender everything to you today. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you're teaching us, you're correcting us, you're encouraging us. God, may our roots grow deep this year. Lord, may we connect ourselves to the house you're planting us in, connecting ourselves to the body you planted us and placed us in, that this year, Lord, we can thrive. Lord, we can thrive in the things of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're teaching us that we got to lead our families. We got to lead our marriages. We got to lead our children. We got to lead this neighborhood. We got to lead this community. God, you're calling us to lead. And God, it starts by right now planting our roots deep and thriving the way you've intended for us to thrive. Lord, I pray right now and thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. If you receive that word over your life today, put your hands together. Listen, we love you very, very much. Thank you so much for being faithful to the house of the Lord. Turn to somebody, give them a high five, and say, I'm going to thrive.